السلام عليكم ورحمة الله شيخ سالم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
كيف حالك شيخ؟
اللهم لك الحمد، الحمد لله رب العالمين.
الحمد لله الحمد لله شيخنا. We ready إن شاء الله.
I'm ready الحمد لله.
Okay, let's begin. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه، وبعد. Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome to our weekly درس Virtues of Islam with our honorable Sheikh, Sheikh Salim Al-Amri. I will inshallah pass the mic and the screen to the Sheikh, and Sheikh can begin inshallah the 64th lesson of Virtues of Islam. فضيلة الشيخ الشيخ سالم العمري فليتفضل مشكورا.
بارك الله فيك، جزاك الله خير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today is our weekly class, Fada'il al-Islam, Virtues of Islam. And we are talking about the methodology of the deviant sects and the characteristics of their methodology. Among these characteristics is that they resort to al-qiyas, analogy, or applying this analogical reasoning or syllogism, and apply that to the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the last session, we talked about the qiyas, the meaning of qiyas, that it is one of the sources of the sharia, masadir at-tashri'. And this qiyas or analogy is resorted to in the absence of a clear-cut evidence, in the absence of the delil, in the absence of the explicit evidence. Then the faqih, the jurist, will resort to the analogy. And by now you should know, I hope, my dear brothers and sisters, that at least one hopes that when he leaves this dunya, this world, there is someone there left behind who can impart the knowledge to others. So take it seriously. Be serious students of knowledge. Take notes and revise your notes and impart what you learn and share what you learn with others. The definition of qiyas, as defined by the usuliyun, by the scholars of usul al-fiqh, huwa ilhaq far'in, this is a recap, we are recapping, هو الحاق فرع بأصل في حكم شرعي لعلة جامعة بينهما. الحاق فرع بأصل. A new issue, a new matter, new problem exists, and we want to know the answer. حلال, حرام, مكروه, what is it? And we didn't find in the Quran or in the Sunnah and explicit evidence addressing this particular issue. And the Islamic law, it is so flexible. And Allah embedded within the law many mechanisms which enabled this law, this Sharia, to accommodate new things and provide solutions. So alhamdulillah, the Islamic law will never fail to find solutions and to address problems, because it is from Allah Azza wa Jalla. ما فرطنا في الكتاب من شيء. We didn't miss anything in the revelation. So the qiyas هو إلحاق فرع بأصل. The فرع is the new issue. It is called فرع, like a tree, and there is branch of that tree. So the branch will follow the mother, the main tree. So this is a new issue, has to follow an established ruling in the Sharia. We call it the asl. And this is, we call it far'a. هو الحق فرعن. So applying the stated legal ruling of the asl, there is, we know the ruling of this asl, stated legal ruling of the original to the new case. The new case, we don't know its ruling. We know the ruling of something similar to it. الحاق فرعين. So in order to for the qiyas to be valid, there must be a resemblance and similarity between the far and the asl, between the new case and the original case, which is its ruling is explicitly stated in either the Quran or the Sunnah. So now we see there is resemblance, there is similarity. هو الحق فرع بأصل في حكم شرعي. Okay. So what they will share in common, حكم شرعي, legal judgment, legal ruling. حرام, حرام, مكروه, فرض, سنة, what is it? حكم شرعي. لعلة جامعة بينهما, providing in order for the analogy and the qiyas and applying this analogical reasoning, there is illa, there is a common cause between the stated legal ruling and the new case, the original case and the new case. So there is something, common denominator, we call it the illa, the cause. Then the qiyas will be valid, will be valid. But if the far' differs totally from the asl, the origin, then the qiyas will not be valid. There must be this far', there is resemblance and there is something common they share. Then you apply the qiyas. But if there is nothing common between the far', the branch, the new case and the original case, nothing common, then they say this qiyas is invalid. It's not correct. Keeping this in mind, because the deviant sects, what they did, they started applying the qiyas, the analogy, and they made, this is their problem, that Allah's attributes, they made them analogous to the attributes of the human being. That's what they thought. So for that reason, they said, no, then these attributes cannot be attributed to Allah. When there is no resemblance in the sense of the attributes of the human being and the attributes of Allah, there's nothing, there's no common denominator they share. Allah's attributes, they suit Allah. They are divine. Allah's attributes are divine. Ours are not. What is shared, what is common, only the name, that's it. Name is common. But the realities, illah, cause, there's no illah. There's no common. This cause between Allah's attributes and the attributes of a human being. So you cannot apply the qiyas. That's number one. Number two, the qiyas, in order to be valid, both the far' and the asl should exist, and they are known to us and visible to us. So someone comes and say, what is the ruling of the opium, hashish, or marijuana, whatever? So he comes to the sheikh and says, Maulana, this hashish, opium, the opium, is it halal? So Maulana has to pause for a while and wait and say, okay, let us have a look. What does it do? What do you do with this drug? We smoke it, sheikh, we smoke it. Or sniff it. Okay, then what does it do to you? We feel high. Okay, we start hallucinating. We forget our problems. Then the Maulana, Sheikh, scholar will call specialists, doctors. Is there any harmful effect of this drug? The doctor will say, oh, yes. It is more harmful than the effect of wine, the effect of khamr. Really? Yes. Now, the Maulana, the jurist, the alim, the faqih got the full picture. Now, the role of the doctor finished. So now, the scholar will apply the principles of Sharia. Sharia says, لا ضرر ولا ضرار. There's nothing, there's no harm or reciprocating harm. Any harm or any reciprocating harm. لا ضرر ولا ضرار, which means anything is going to cause harm to your body, to your health, that's not part of the Sharia, it is haram. And we know Allah prohibited the khamr, wine, because it intoxicates, it affects the mind, and this new drug, X drug, because every day new drug is invented, this X drug has the same impact or more. So we know that the original case, the khamr, haram, and this now drug, it is not less harmful than the khamr. If it is more harmful than the khamr, then it is haram. Then this analogy is perfect. It's perfect. Because the new drug and the khamr, they have something common, illa, and that is intoxicating and harming and destroying the brain and the mind, etc. The same thing, smoking cigarettes. Tobacco in the beginning, the scholars, they didn't have enough information about it. So some of them, they said it is makruh, should be avoided. But now, after a lot of researchers and many people died of it, it is the root cause of cancer. Smoking cigarettes is haram, prohibited, and selling cigarettes as well. So this is the qiyas. But to apply this to the attributes of Allah, which are unknown to you, Allah is unknown to you, is ghaib, how can you apply the qiyas? That way they went astray, those deviant sects. And this we covered in the last session. We continue. Al-madhab al-haqq, the true madhab, the true methodology, the true way. أن العقيدة غيبية توقيفية. Issues of the belief, issues related to the doctrine, the creed, are unknown. Unseen. They are unseen. Okay. Maybe I said unknown before. Unseen, غيب. So the attributes of Allah, they are unseen to us. We didn't see Allah. So we don't know the reality of these attributes of Allah. But we know that these attributes, they suit Allah's majesty and glory. And Allah is a reality. Allah is not something abstract. It's not something just here in the mind. No, it's a reality. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is outside his creation. Because many people, Allah to them is just an idea. It's not outside the mind. There's nothing there. That's why you hear, for example, in the books of the deviant sects like the Asha'ira and others, when they talk about Allah, they say, Allah, لا داخل الكون ولا خارج الكون. Allah is neither outside the creation nor inside the creation. So where is Allah? It's only an idea in your mind. There is no real existence for him outside the mind. It's not an idea. So you are actually denying and negating Allah's existence, because that is Adam. That is exactly equivalent and synonymous to Adam, to nothingness. If we ask you, what is nothingness, you will not find a definition more than this. So you are saying Allah is nothing, because he's neither outside the creation nor inside his creation. So where is he? He's not there. That's why Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he said in his beautiful poem An-Nuniyya, لا تعدموه بقولكم لا داخل فينا ولا هو خارج الأكوان. Please do not deny his existence by saying Allah is neither inside the creation nor outside the creation. That is nothingness. So you are saying God is nothing. So Allah is a reality, haqiqah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke to Allah on the night of the Mi'raj. Musa alayhi salam spoke to Allah. Wa kallam Allahu Musa taklima. And Allah spoke to Moses on the Mount of Sinai. Allah is a reality. Allah speaks and talks. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he saw veils of light on the night of the Mi'raj. When he was asked, did you see Allah? He said, no, I saw veils of light. Hijabuhu nur. His veil were screens of light. It's not something, an idea, abstract idea in the mind. No. This is the belief of Ahl Sunnah. So al-madhab al-haqq, the true madhab, the true methodology, the true way and of knowing the correct belief, the correct doctrine and creed. أن العقيدة غيبية. The issues of عقيدة are related to unseen matters. Unseen matters. That's why it's called عقيدة. عقيدة. على وزن فعيلة. عقيدة فعيلة. Which means معقود. عقيدة على وزن فعيلة means معقود. Because this form, because in Arabic we have grammatical scale, we call it al-mizan al-sarfi, mizan, which is fa'ala, fa'ala. And then we, okay, put this fa'ala on one pan and the new word, and then we give, okay, the equivalent wasn for this word. So, for example, aqidah, we, in order to know the what is the wasn and the weight of it on this grammatical scale, which is fa'ala, on this balance fa'ala, we have, first of all, to remove the additional letters from the word aqidah. Aqidah. Because if you want to search in the Arabic dictionary, you have to go to the root, root. Then you'll find the meaning of aqidah. For example, if you want to open a dictionary and you want to find aqidah, you have to go and search under the root aqada, ayn qaf dal. That where you'll find the definition of al-aqidah. So you have to remove the additional letters that had been added to the root. And these letters, you can write them down. If you find them in any word, remove them, then you will arrive at the root. They are combined in one word. سَأَلْتُمُونِيهَا سَأَلْتُمُونِيهَا The sin and the hamza and the lam and the ta and the meme and the waw and the noon and the ya and the ha and the alif. So these are additional letters. So al-aqidah. So we have to remove alif, lam, and ya and ta marbuta. We remove them. So what we are left with? Aqada. Okay. So this is the root. Aqada. So on one side of the scale, fa'ala, and now we put aqada. Aqada fa'ala. Good. But we want to know the weight of aqida, not aqada. Okay. So what are two letters I need to add to aqada to make aqidah? The ya and ta marbuta. Ya and ta marbuta. And this is a balance. You have to keep in mind, if you put something on one side, a formula, you have to balance it, put it on the other, second, on the other side. So now I added ya and ta marbuta next to aqada, so it became aqidah. And then I have fa'ala. I have to add ya and ta marbuta. And it became fa'ila, aqida, fa'ila. I hope now it is clear to all of you. Aqida means fa'ila. Was the wasn of it, the grammatical weight, weighty for it. On this scale, the form of it will be fa'ila. What does fa'ila mean? Fa'il means maf'ul. When you've come across a word that rhymes and like and take the sounds like fa'ila, then it is maf'ul. Fa'il, maf'ul. For example, قتيل, قتيل, someone who's killed. قتيل means مقتول, someone who is had been murdered, killed. So عقيدة فعيلة مفعول means something tied, something being tied firmly. So that's why we call it عقيدة. It is something معقود, something tied up in the heart. So the matters of the unseen that are tied in your heart is called عقيدة. That set of beliefs about the unseen, Jannah, Malaika, Hellfire, Kursi, Arsh, Sirat, different types of the gardens, Kawthar, all these are unseen. So they, you believe and you tie that belief in your heart. So this is what the definition here is, the belief of Ahl Sunnah, al-madhhab al-haq, the true madhhab, and al-aqida ghaybiyya. The aqida is related to issues that are unseen. Unseen, you believe in them. Al-Vlamin dalik al-kitab al-arayba fi hudan lil-muttaqeen al-ladhina yu'minuna bil-ghayb. Yu'minuna bil-ghayb. Alif Lam Mim, ذلك الكتاب, this book, this Quran, لا ريب فيه. There's no doubt in it. هدى للمتقين, it is a guidance for the righteous. Those who believe in the unseen, يؤمنون بالغيب. So the iman is to believe in the unseen, things you didn't see, because you've been told by Allah about them. So we believe in these things because Allah told us through His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the meaning of the iman. I believe in the unseen because Allah sent me a messenger, prophet, and this prophet showed me irrefutable proofs, tangible proofs that he is sent by Allah, which we call them mu'jizat, miracles. No human being can perform. So then whatever this prophet tells me, I have to accept. I have to accept. That's why when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went on the night journey, the Isra and the Mi'raj, and the next day he informed Quraysh, Abu Bakr was not present. So Abu Jahl passed by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he told him, oh, Abu Bakr, have you heard what your friend is telling us? Said, what did he tell you? Said, he told us last night he went to Jerusalem and came back. Said, did he tell you that? He said, yes. Then Abu Bakr said, he told you the truth. He told you the truth. To Abu Bakr is not an issue. He said, finish, he's Rasulullah. He is Rasulullah. Whatever he tells you, I accept it. He said, he tells me. In no time, Jibreel came to him and told him, I accept that. So now he said, he went overnight and came back. What's the issue? This is the iman. And this is the difference between the iman of the Sahaba and our iman. Sahaba iman is unshakable. They believe in whatever the Prophet ﷺ said. Whatever. One of the Sahaba in one of the battles, he was eating few dates, holding them in his hand, eating them. He said, oh, Prophet of Allah, what stops me from the Jannah? He said, what do you have in your hand? What stops you from the Jannah? Eating these dates. He said, it is a long life. So he threw the dates and started to fight, and he was martyred. He said, it is a long life to finish eating them. I want to go to Jannah. That's it. This is the belief. Whatever the Prophet ﷺ said, خلاص. Because وَمَا يَنْتُقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ الْوَحِيُّ يُوحَىٰ. He doesn't speak out of his own desire. Hawa. He's inspired. هُوَ الْوَحِيُّ يُوحَىٰ. He is nothing. He's not more than someone who's inspired. وَحِي. An inspiration that has been inspired and revealed to him. So whatever the Prophet said, we accept it. No argument. No argument. Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, a man came to him, learned this lesson, said, oh, Malik, I want to debate with you. He said, okay. And if I win the debate, he said, I will follow you. He said, okay. Then the third one came after I defeated you, and he debated with me, and he won the debate. What are you going to do? He said, I'm going to follow him. He said, okay. You are in doubt. Go and look for someone who is in doubt like you. You are a doubter, so go and look for another doubter. I have no doubt about my deen. No doubt. And alhamdulillah, we have no doubts about our Islam. But today, ignorant Muslims, the youth, because they didn't study their deen, okay, they are not qualified. Their minds are full of shubhat, doubts, because they go and debate and argue with the opponents of the deen without ilm. They go to the battlefield without weapons. Without weapons. That's why what you see, okay, some of our brothers now are confused, or some they were da'is and now they are confused, because they were not fully equipped. So they could not combat and ward off the doubts. So the enemies, they managed to shake their faith because the aqidah was not tied firmly in the heart. So al-madhab al-haq, my dear brothers and sisters, anna al-aqidata ghaybiyya. The matters are related to the unseen. Don't you see today some, they are saying, where is this the Dajjal, Antichrist? The satellites, they scan the entire planet. So where is he? So they are denying the existence of the Dajjal because they're saying satellites didn't show the place of the Dajjal is. First of all, this is an issue of belief. We've been told about it. And the Prophet ﷺ told us to seek Allah's protection from the trial and the fitna of the Dajjal. In our salah, we seek that. وَعُوذُ بِكَمْ فِتْنَةَ الْمَحْيَ وَالْمَمَاتِ وَمِشَرِّ فِتْنَةَ الْمَسِيحِ الدِّجَّالِ. In the salah. Every Muslim says this. Are you asking Allah to save you from the fitna of the Dajjal? And he doesn't exist? So what is the benefit of seeking, oh Allah protect me from something that doesn't exist? Hello, hello. Or Gog and Magog, where are they? Those are trapped behind a wall, and where are they? They're saying. We didn't see them because now we know everything on this earth. Who told you? Who told you? Every day they are discovering new things. Every day about the earth. And if you follow this line, then you have to deny that Shaitan is on earth. Iblis. You have to deny that because you don't see his throne. Though his throne is on the water. And the Prophet ﷺ, he confirmed that. When he asked Ibn al-Sayyad, what do you see? He said, I see big throne and people around it. He said, yes, that is the throne of Iblis. Throne of Iblis. So you have to deny it because you didn't see the throne of Iblis. So it's not there. Because you believe in this small objects orbiting the earth, okay, have limited resolution, and you're expecting them to tell you everything. And if Allah, for the sake of argument, doesn't want you these things to be discovered yet, or to be known. Is it difficult for Allah? Subhanallah. But this is when the belief in the ghaib and the unseen became so weak, and people became materialistic. So, al-aqidah ghaibiyya tawqifiyya. So all these issues had been not mentioned in the revelation, the Quran, or the authentic Sunnah, we would have known nothing about them. We would have known nothing about the Dajjal, or about Gog and Magog, or about the throne of Iblis, all these things. But we've been told by Allah who created us. And he told us about these things. So we have no issue, we have no problem. We have no problem. And that is the real belief, the belief in the ghaib. And al-aqidah ghaibiyyah tawqifiyyah. Tawqifiyyah means this belief in the unseen, issues, matters of the unseen, we only take it from the revelation. They have to be mentioned in the revelation, the Quran or the authentic Sunnah. Because this is unseen, ghaib. Anyone mentions anything about the ghaib, the unseen, we have to ask him or her, produce your evidence. Where did you get this information? Where did you get it? This is the Quran and this is the Sunnah. That's it. Is it mentioned there? No. So where did you get this information from? And there are many stories and many issues you hear. Many of them are mentioned in spurious and fabricated hadith, and they are in circulation over the net. No isnad, nothing. And people, they just keep forwarding. Or maybe you would be told, if you don't forward this in this hadith, something will happen to you. So my advice to you, my dear brothers and sisters, verify the information you receive without checking its authenticity. You are not allowed to share it with anyone. You receive something, check its authenticity. Hadith, there are websites specialized will help you to know the authenticity of this narration. Ayah, the books of tafsir are there. You are not allowed to forward it. Check. If you find it is unauthentic, delete it and send a message to the sender. Fear Allah, and you should not do this thing. I found out that this hadith is fabricated. And this is the reference. So please send this warning to everyone that you sent this message to him. This is how we can stop those people from spreading wrong information about our Islam. Our Islam is clear, Quran and Sunnah. That's why anyone comes, for example, to say halal, haram. See, okay. Who said it is haram? Allah? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Oh, Mawlana. Okay. What is the proof of Mawlana that he said it is haram? Did he mention? No. Ask him. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made everything halal for us. Unless it is mentioned otherwise. Al-asr fi al-ashya' al-ibaha. Everything is halal. All types of food halal. All types of drinks halal. Anyone who comes, you say, okay, produce the evidence. Because Allah made everything halal. And now you want to specify and say this particular drink or food is haram. Where is it mentioned? Okay. So the issues of aqidah, the issues of the belief, which are related to the unseen, tawqifiyah, are only taken if they are mentioned in the kitab and sunnah. And I mentioned to you before, if you recall, the types of hadith, three main definitions, famous: marfu', mawquf, maqtu'. Marfu', what you attribute to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Mawquf, the saying of the Sahabi. Maqtu', the saying of the Tabi'i. وَمَا أُضِيفَ لِلنَّبِي الْمَرْفُوعُ وَمَا لِتَابِعٍ هُوَ الْمَقْطُوعُ وَمَا أُضِيفَ لِلنَّبِي الْمَرْفُوعُ حديث مرفوع وَمَا لِتَابِعٍ هُوَ الْمَقْطُوعُ وَمَا أُضِيفَ لِلْأَصْحَابِ مِنْ قَوْلٍ وَفِعْلٍ فَهُوَ مَوْقُوفٌ زُكٍ وَمَا أُضِيفَ لِلنَّبِي الْمَرْفُوعُ. What you attribute to the Prophet, and you said the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this, this is marfu', because you are attributing it to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And here, of course, we have to check the isnad, and it has to be traceable, that all the narrators are there, no narrator is missing. So this is marfu'. وَمَا لِتَابِعٍ هُوَ الْمَقْطُوعُ. The saying of a tabi'i like Sa'id ibn Jubayr, Sa'id ibn Musayyab, Al-Hasan al-Basri, tabi'i. This is maqtu'. So it's not hujjah, it's not an authority, it's not a proof. For example, if Al-Hasan al-Basri says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, without mentioning the isnad, this is called mursal. Mursal. It's called mursal. And mursal is part of the da'if, weak. We don't accept it. Because Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, did not see the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he cannot. So something is missing. The isnad is not traceable, it's not continuous. The link is missing. We have to know. Whom did Al-Hasan rahimahullah, whom did he hear this hadith from? The same thing of Sa'id ibn Jubayr or Sa'id ibn Musayyib. Sa'id ibn Musayyib, Imam Shafi'i treated him specially, make him a special case. Imam Shafi'i, he accepts the Marasil, the Mursal of Imam Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. He said, I have checked and found out most of the Mursal hadith, if he said hadith without mentioning the Sahabi, it is actually traceable, and he heard it from his son-in-law, Abu Huraira. Because Abu Huraira was the son-in-law of Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. But the ulama, they disagreed with Imam Shafi'i and said, not always. So the Mursal is weak and will not accept. Will not accept. So anyone who comes and says something, hey, this deen is not a joke. Okay, it's not a joke. Show the Islam. The reason I mentioned this, because if a Sahabi, keep this in mind, if a Sahabi said, talked about issues of ghaib and seeing, without saying that he heard it from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or without saying qala Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam this and that, but he mentioned issues related to the ghaib. We know the Sahaba, they will never lie against the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We know that. So if a Sahabi, a companion, says and mentions issues related to the ghaib, then he must have heard it from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He must have. That's why they say, لَهُ حُكْمُ الرَّفِعِ. لَهُ حُكْمُ الرَّفِعِ. He must have heard it from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But not all the companions. The ulama, they made exception. If the companion was from the people of the scripture, was a Jew or Christian, like Abdullah ibn Salam was a rabbi, or Ka'b al-Ahbar. So for example, Abdullah ibn Salam, if he talks about issues of the unseen, and he didn't say, I heard it from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we do not accept that from Abdullah ibn Salam. Why? Because there is possibility that this information is taken from the previous scripture, not from the Quran and Sunnah. And for that reason, his narration will not be accepted. Unless and until he says, I heard it from the Prophet ﷺ, or Ka'b al-Ahbar, or Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he had massive loads of books of the people of the scripture. Two loads of camel loads of people of the scriptures, Jews and Christians. And he used to read in them. So now, if Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As mentioned any issue of ghaib without saying that he heard it from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that will not be accepted from him. But the rest of the Sahaba, who had no access to the scriptures of the Jews and the Christians, okay, and they were not Jews and Christians, then became Muslims, then there is no problem. And that their statement, their saying, will be treated as marfu', as marfu'. المذهب الحق أن العقيدة غيبية توقيفية. We take our عقيدة only from كتاب and Sunnah. لا مجال للقول فيها. There's no room for putting our own ideas, our thoughts, our saying, I think this, I think that. Who are you to think? Huh? Keep your ideas with you. Huh? This is what I think. We don't care what you think. This is an issue of iman, akhi. Huh? Allah says, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادِ كُلُّ أُولَئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا وَلَا تَقْفُ Do not trace and track that which you have no clue, no knowledge. So hold your horses and respect your gray matter, respect yourself. There is no way to know about the unseen. Our aql, our mind is limited, my dear brothers and sisters. Limited. This aql works only within what is material, what is tangible, what is physical. See now? You hear the knocks, all of you. Sound waves reach your ears. So, you heard the knocks. Someone knocking in your door, all of you who are inside a room will say, somebody at the door. Someone should open for him. No issue. But now, try to imagine who is at the door. Will you, the audience, agree on one person? Have the same mental picture or different mental pictures? Some will say, oh, this is a boy, this is a man, this is a woman, this is the little cat. Different mental pictures. Why? The problem that we agreed in the beginning, unanimously, somebody knocking, because this is within the range and the domain of the functionality of the mind. Something material. Air waves reach my ear, vibration, okay? Signal is conveyed to the brain interpreted. Somebody at the door. Something tangible, material. But now, somebody behind the door is unseen. Unseen. You can't see. Though the distance between you and the knocker is only the thickness of the door, a few centimeters. Yet, your aql, your mind cannot tell you who's at the door. So now when we started speculating, guessing, we got different mental pictures. Because now our minds are lost. Because we are pushing the aql into an area doesn't fall within its speciality, its capacity. This is a small example. My aql cannot tell me who is at the door. Do you expect my aql to tell me what is beyond this cosmos? What is beyond this creation? When it cannot tell me who is at the door? And the distance only few centimeters. Can this little gray matter tell me what is beyond this creation? Millions of light years. Now. So let us be humble. Humble. And know our limitations. Know our limitations. Subhanallah. Yes. Maybe yesterday or day before yesterday, I saw one of the ulama of the Maghrib. Jazakallah khair. He is allama and muhaddith, mashallah, and he is upon kitab and sunnah. He's refuting a Muslim, but this Muslim is ignorant, who's denying the Isra and the Mi'raj, and say, what is this that there is the heavens and gates and nothing is there. All this universe is only gaseous matter, and what is this gates and doors? Because your mind cannot comprehend it. That's your problem. That's it. Allah told you. لا تفتح لهم أبواب السماوات والأرض, that the gates of the heavens and the earth will not open for them. There are gates. And the Prophet ﷺ, the gates were opened for him. And Allah took him. And Allah said, سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده. Glory be to him who sent. Allah took him. So what's your problem? What is your problem? Because if you use this argument, then you have to deny all the things, all the miracles. Because your mind cannot. SubhanAllah. If I tell you someone was put into the fire, blazing fire, huge fire, and nothing happened to him, even no single hair was burnt, will your aql comprehend it? No. But because it is something supernatural. This is what happened to Ibrahim alayhi salam. The miracles. Allah commanded the fire, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ. Oh fire, don't harm our servant Ibrahim. Be cool and safe for him. So he was inside the fire and nothing happened to him. How will your aql comprehend this now? Of this miracle. That's why the definition of the miracle, the mu'jiza, is something supernatural. Supernatural. Will your mind and your aql comprehend and digest that if you take a stick and hit the water, you'll split the sea? No. Human mind cannot. But Musa, he hit the sea with his stick and the sea split. And the water solidified. Like mountain. And the bed of the sea became dry. And Bani Israel walked. And this water is like that. Water. Water. And they can see through. Will the aql digest it? No. But this is what happened. Supernatural. Allah told the water, I created you and created all fluids to flow horizontally, but now I want you to go vertically. Go up. If you spill tea or water on the dining table, it will go like that and fall. It will not go like this. But the water went like this. Who told the water to go vertically, to the vertical position? The one who created it, Allah. If you are saying, my mind cannot take it, then you have to deny this, what Allah said. Musa alayhi salam has dark skin. And one of his miracles, he put his hand in his pocket and pull it out white. Dark skin, and now his hand is white. If you are told this is sick, became serpent, snake, and swallowed the robes of the magicians, will your mind comprehend it? No. But this is what happened. It became real snake. So you have to deny that Ibrahim was thrown into the fire. You have to deny that Musa alayhi salam hit the sea. You have to deny that the staff and the cane of Musa alayhi salam became a real serpent. Reassert, re-snake, and swallowed the robes of the magicians. And the magicians themselves realized that this is a miracle. That's why they prostrated and they became believers. So, my dear brothers and sisters, these little minds are limited. Limited. SubhanAllah, recently, you know, they sent new massive telescope, more powerful than the Hubble. And the scientists now are shocked by the new images that are coming. Totally different from what they used to imagine and think of. This universe, Allah said, وَإِنَّا لَمُوسِعُونَ. We are expanding it. And he said, we are going to show them the signs in themselves and in the horizons until it becomes vivid and clear to them that this is the truth. So لا مجال للقول فيها. So the issues of aqidah, issues of belief, it's not left for you to put your ideas and your I think this is my idea, this is this philosopher said this, to the hell with the philosophers. Who cares? Who's this philosopher? All the philosophers are confused, and they are in state, constant state of confusion. I think Aristotle said, the one thing I'm sure of, that I don't know anything. I don't know anything. لا مجال للقول فيها إلا بالتسليم للنصوص الثابتة. Yes, we know now. Unseen, there is no way to know about the unseen except through the authentic texts. Revelation. As Muslims, Quran and Sunnah. It's mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah, we accept it. Nothing mentioned in Kitab and Sunnah. We don't speculate. We don't talk. It's okay. Because whatever you say, whatever you speculate, you'll be questioned about it. So stop speculating. Just respect your mind and follow what your Creator told you. إِلَّا بِالتَّسْلِيمِ. We submit and accept what the revelation tells us. وَاللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. The supreme and the most beautiful example is for Allah. So Allah is beyond analogy, and you cannot compare Allah to any of his creation. فَلَا يُقَاسْ بِغَيْرِهِ. You cannot make Allah analogous to any of his creation, because he is unique. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing like unto him, and he is all hearing, all seeing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our knowledge in the deen, and may Allah fill our hearts with his fear, and may Allah fill our hearts with his love subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful deen till we meet Allah and find him pleased with all of us. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our ummah to the haq and guide them to the haq. And guide those Muslims who went off the track to come back to the right track. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our hearts in the haq. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakum Allahu khayra. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Salim. Brothers and sisters, we will start the question and answers time now. Please send in your questions fast if you like us to consider them, inshallah. The first question received If knowledge becomes hujjah against the person when one seeks knowledge, and ignorance could not be an excuse, why is it better to not learn?
Okay, so we know that the ignorant will not be excused, because when you worship Allah, okay, without knowing how to worship Him, it is just equal to disobeying Him, like you are disobeying Allah. Allah told you and told us, told every one of us, to learn and to worship Him correctly, because He created us to worship Him. But He will not accept from us any worship that we think, oh, this is the way I will worship Allah. No. He wants us to worship Him in a particular way, as His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam worshipped Him. So He sent us this model, role model, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as an example, uswa, qudwa, an example. So just follow Him. Pray as your Prophet prayed. I want you to pray this way. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, pray as you have seen me praying. Perform your Hajj as my Prophet performed it. Khudhu anni manasikakum, learn your rituals of Hajj and rites from me. That's what Allah wants from us. If we worship Allah in a different way, He will not accept it, because just it is equal to disobeying Him, because He told us, worship me as my Prophet worshipped me, and now you are worshipping Him differently. And that's why Allah said, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever your Prophet gives you, take it. And whatever He forbids you, abstain from it. وَاسْأَلُوا, and ask the people of knowledge, أَهْلِ الذِّكْرِ كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. You don't know, ask the people who know. So there's no excuse that if you think that I remain ignorant, so I will be excused. No. You are sinful, and the one who worships Allah while he is totally ignorant about the deen, he is sinful, and he or she will be punished for that. And the ulama, they said, the scholars of our ummah, if a Muslim scholar became corrupt, he has knowledge and he is not practicing this knowledge, so he became, okay, corrupt immorally, for example. So they say he looks like the scholars of the Jews. من فسد من علمائنا ففيه شبه أو فهو شبه فيه شبه من اليهود علماء اليهود. He is like the rabbis of the Jews. They have knowledge and they are not role models. And if someone, a Muslim, sincere, and he worships Allah but ignorant, then he looks like and resembles the Christians. Christians are sincere. Sincere. They think that they are, what they are doing is correct, but what they are doing is wrong. They are on the wrong path, the Christians. They don't have ilm like the Jews. That's Allah said regarding the Jews, مغضوب عليهم, they received Allah's wrath and anger. Where are the Christians? Allah said about them, ضالين. They lost the way. They are wandering in blindness, in total darkness. Because they think the Holy Trinity is correct. This belief that concocted and made by Saint Paul, who misled all the Christians. All the Christians today who they believe in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they are not actually following Christ. They're following Saint Paul. Saint Paul. So seeking knowledge is the way that will lead you by the grace of Allah to enter the Jannah. And Allah loves those who seek knowledge because they will fear Allah more. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Those who will fear Allah most are the people of knowledge. Allah told his Prophet ﷺ, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Increase me in knowledge. And now you are saying, the questioner is saying, I have no need for seeking knowledge. Allah tells his Prophet, ask more knowledge. وَقُلْ رَبِّ, say, oh my Lord, زِدْنِي, increase me in knowledge. So my advice to all the sisters, all the brothers, and the questioner, whether he is male or female, to learn your deen and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for more hidayah and more knowledge, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show you the path and to keep you remain treading on the straight path and to strengthen your iman. May Allah fill our hearts with the iman, and may Allah fill your heart with the iman and taqwa and keep you remain steadfast until you enter the Jannah and you meet your Lord and you find him pleased with you. Amen. Next. I hope this
Ameen.
Is
clear. Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. If not the question, I can always send a follow-up question. Next question, Sheikh. Is it permissible to use soap or lotion that has hemp seed oil in it?
Has what?
Hemp seed oil.
This word I didn't hear. Hemp?
Hemp seed.
What's that?
It's a particular seed, Sheikh, that I believe, let me just see. It comes from brown seeds from cannabis plant.
Okay. And they use this oil for what? For it is involved in the manufacturing of the soap.
Yes, sir. It is an ingredient, a key ingredient.
Okay. I'll just give you a very simple rule in Sharia. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "دع ما يريبك إلى ما لا يريبك." دع, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And I want you, my dear brothers and sisters, whenever you hear the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, imagine yourself in front of him. Just go back in time, 1400 years ago. And he is telling you, da' ma yuribuka ila ma la yuribuka, which means, leave that which you doubt to that which you don't doubt. Any doubtful matter, leave it. Don't come to it. Oh, this has maybe negligible amount of percentage of fat of pig. Leave it. Or this percentage of alcohol. Leave it. Okay? So when you are doing your shopping, read the ingredients, do your homework, and anything has any haram, doubtful things, leave it on the shelf. Because for sure, there are different soaps there they don't have any material, which is doubtful. Soaps made of olive oil, beautiful, nice smell. Why you want to smell this soap that has this seed, which is from the hashish, opium? Why you want to smell it? So always, my dear brothers and sisters, doubtful matters, keep them aside. Don't come near to them. And remember the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-halalu bayyin wal-haramu bayyin wa baynahuma umuru mushtabihat. So the halal is clear, the haram is clear, and there is a gray matter area in between. Gray area. Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu said, Kunna natruku kada wa kada halal. We used to leave great number and great percentage of halal in order to avoid falling into the gray area. So I want you to draw three circles. So you are in the halal circle. So Sayyidina Umar say, we will be at the end of the halal circle. So between us and the gray area, most of the thing of the circle, halal circle, most of it, we leave it. Halal, we know it's halal, we don't do it. In order to keep this buffer zone barrier between us and the gray area, this is called the wara, the fear of Allah, the taqwa. So if you are at the end of the halal circle, there's no chance for you to fall into the gray area, leave alone the haram area. Never. But if you consume all the halal, so you are on the edge of the halal, just the border. Now, the likelihood that you fall into the gray area is very high. Many of the Muslims today, gray area means halal. Halal to them. Shubuhat, doubtful matters, everything is halal. So they finish the circle of the halal and the gray area, and now they are about to fall into the haram area. And many, they fell already into that area. So my dear brothers and sisters, leave and implement this hadith in your life. Leave what is doubtful, what you doubt, to that which you don't doubt. To that which you don't doubt. So my advice for the questioner, don't use it, because there are other alternatives and there is no necessity here. It's not a necessity here. Like some medicines, we have no other options like cough syrups, etc. And there are certain percentage of alcohol. That is a necessity, and necessity dictates exception. But here there's no necessity. I hope this is clear to the questioner.
Inshallah, it's clear, Sheikh. If a wife has rejected the right to be a wife towards her husband, and because of arguments, she is now mishandling food items in the kitchen. Sheikh, did you hear me?
Yeah, would you mind repeating the question?
Okay, if a wife has rejected the rights to be a wife for her husband, and
you mean
because of
rejecting to be a wife to come to bed.
No, Sheikh, for her husband, and because of arguments, she's mishandling food items in the kitchen and always overcooking and then throwing in the dustbin. Can the husband stop providing the daily expenses?
The daily what?
Expenses.
Because she is always spoiling the food?
Yes, and overcooking, and food is going to the bin. And this is the main reason.
Listen to me, sisters. This is exclusively for the sisters. And the questioner is a product of this negligence of the mothers. Mothers in the past, when the girl grows, they take her to the kitchen. The mother teaches her. Okay? And she will be experimenting and make many wrong dishes. And the family, they will eat until everything is perfect. Because now she is going to move to another house. She will become a wife and then a mother. And always sisters, you want your husband to love you. I'll tell you a secret. You want to know the secret? You want to know the key to his heart? Don't tell anyone, huh? His stomach. The key to the man's heart is a stomach. Give him good food. He will love you. So, mothers, take your daughters to the kitchen. Otherwise, they will be like the questioner, this question. She doesn't know how to cook, and many times she overcooked the food, and then the food has to be thrown, and the husband is suffering. So my advice for the questioner, don't take it personally. I don't know you, that this is advice from your uncle, old man. Life taught me. Okay, learn, take courses of cooking, yes. And the husband, he got fed up, maybe one time, two times, three times, but every time the food is thrown, so he wants to discipline her, okay? So, correct your mistakes. Learn the art of cooking. Ask the people who are experienced. Put the correct ingredients and the correct quantities. Okay? And measure the temperature. If you are putting something in the oven, there are tools will help you. You can see the temperature so the meat will not be overburned, etc. So my advice for you is to learn and ask him, okay, my husband, I am learning and just help me, okay, and be patient with me, okay. I didn't learn cooking, okay. This my problem, and now I'm suffering. But I promise you I will improve. And husband, they have to tolerate this and help your wives to learn. Okay? Can go and register on some courses. Or if your mother is still alive and can help you, tell her mother, show me your expertise, I should do. Because the problem nowadays, the girl's being brainwashed. What, you want me to go to the kitchen to cook for him? I'm not a slave. They brainwash the girls. Cook for him? No. They can order food. See? What the husband wants from his wife? Intimacy? No. He wants to have happy life, marital life. She cares for him. he lacks her food. Maybe they are servants. I don't want the servant to cook. I want you to cook. As one of the brothers, Jazakallah Khair, he said, my wife brings me the breakfast in bed. Excellent, marvelous. Jazakallah Khair, this sister, he is intelligent and smart, and she loves her husband. Because this is the key to his heart. Like if he's just, they're newly married. Throughout their life. He gets up in the morning, he prays, then he heads to the kitchen, fixes him his breakfast. My dear husband, enjoy your meal. You don't know what you do to him. You make his day. He will be crazy about you. He will love you more. Not that. He's now going to the office and you are still asleep. So he has to rush to the kitchen to fix himself something and sandwich. What? And he's a married husband? Wake up, sisters and daughters. Get rid of this brainwashing and the influence of the feminist movement. Get rid of that. You are a Muslimah. When you obey your husband, you are obeying Allah. Obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, the Prophet ﷺ said, if a woman prays her 5 prayers and fasts her month, Ramadan, and protect her private part from haram, from zina, cheating on her husband, and obeys her husband, what's the reward of Prophet? All the 8 gates of the Jannah will be opened for her. So on the day of resurrection, Malaika telling you, oh, so-and-so, come here. No, come here, come here. Because you obeyed your husband. So obeying your husband, you're obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my advice for the sister, roll up your sleeves, start learning cooking, and don't spoil the food anymore. Okay? And this is my advice for all the sisters. Take your daughters with you to the kitchen so that when they leave the house, with the husband, every time you visit your son-in-law and he cooks, and he will be smiling. My mother-in-law, Jazakallah Khair, you brought her up very well, and you taught her how to cook. Barakallahu feekum. May Allah reward you all. May Allah bless you all. Next question, please.
Next question, Sheikhna. How to achieve ihsan and maintain it?
How to attain ihsan and maintain it?
Yes, Sheikh.
May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the tawfiq to reach the level of ihsan, because the level of ihsan and ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tarah fa'in lam takun tarah fa'innahu yarak. Okay, that means you, person already finished the Islam phase and the Iman phase, now he's reached the ihsan phase. And that's the real ubudiyah, where you worship Allah as if you are seeing him. Though you are not seeing him, he is seeing you. So everything is for him, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? You do everything that Allah tells you just to please him. Allah told you this, halas. I hear and I obey. Sami'na wa ata'na. And this needs mujahada. There's no magical prescription for this. Okay, there's no pill for it. No. This needs struggle, strive, مجاهدة والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا. So it needs training, constant against the nafs, struggle against the nafs, because the nafs is against you. The nafs pulls you back, doesn't want you to reach the level of al-ihsan, doesn't want you to get up and pray tahajjud, doesn't want you to pray to fast Monday or Thursday, doesn't want you to do good deeds, nafs. So this needs struggle and jihad and strife against the desires, the whims, what the nafs dictates to reach the level of al-ihsan. See, the Prophet ﷺ, he used to pray at night till his feet would swell. This is the Prophet. And when he was told, O Prophet of Allah, you pray until your feet swell and Allah forgave you everything, all your sins, past, future. Says, أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Shouldn't I be a grateful servant to Allah? Thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitates when He sees that we are struggling, and if He sees that we are sincere, He gives us the help subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He promised. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا. So first we have to struggle and give this efforts, exert our utmost effort. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. Then Allah said, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. We will guide them, we will facilitate to them our ways of good, the ways of khair. So they reach the ihsan needs jihad, refraining from the haram, and refraining from the doubtful matters and gray area. Do like Sayyidina Umar did, leave most of the halal and stay always on the safe side. That is when one can reach the level of the ihsan and the love of the dunya. We need to reduce our love for the dunya. We should be content and satisfied with a little of it. Okay? Invest in the akhirah. I want to buy this thing. Oh, it is so expensive. I can buy something, will do. And the rest I can deposit in my balance in the akhirah. I give it for charity. Charity. So when we always keep the akhirah in our minds and thinking about the akhirah, as in the hadith, إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرْ النَّسَاءَ. If you are in the morning, don't expect to live until the night. If you are in the night, don't expect to live until the morning. If we live in that mood, then the dunya, the love of the dunya, will not go. What will be reduced? But the problem nowadays, all of us, what bothers us and what preoccupies our minds, the love of dunya, love of dunya. May Allah save us from the fitna of the dunya. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the success and the support and the strength to reach the level of ihsan. Ameen. I hope this is clear to the question.
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. That will be the final question. That was the final question for today. Inshallah, we'll be able to take more questions next time. If you'd like to conclude, Sheikh, Jazakallah khair.
Barakallah feekum, Jazakumullah khair. May Allah bless you, bless your family, and may Allah protect you, protect your family, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate your status, my dear brothers and sisters, in this dunya and in the Jannat al-Na'im, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast in this beautiful deen till we meet Allah and find Him pleased with all of us. Ameen. May Allah give hidayah to our ummah. May Allah unite our ummah in the haq. And may Allah unite our hearts in the haq. May Allah Azza wa Jal forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. Until we meet, inshallah, in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. في حفظ الله ورعايته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.